Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
That's what stood out to me, was the fight to win a game, which is good. You know, I'm not putting a lot of pressure standing behind the bench screaming and yelling, and it's up to these guys to push right now, as I've said, through camp to feel better the next day. You're not going to feel good the first day and push through it. You know, we had a lot of guys that I know didn't feel good, obviously didn't feel like themselves. There's no rhythm at this point, but what we wanted to see was them push. And the third was real nice to see that fight and push by our guys.
Third game in four nights coming up tonight. Yes, the games never end, seemingly. Buffalo 2-0 in the preseason on the heels of a perfect prospects challenge. It's Sabres Live with an asterisk, Marty. That seems to be our thing these days as we go into another game tonight.
There's an asterisk. The Sabres are 2-0 in the preseason, but I count it as 4-0 because they also both times won the shootout. So that's two wins in each of the first two games. So that's 4-0 so far.
Lots of engagement on Twitter when I brought up that Malcolm Subban is one of the greatest of all time in the shootout. And
Alex Tuck made sure to remind everybody in the locker room after the game, we're all... This was my first experience back in the locker room since they went away from doing it when the pandemic started. And then since the shortened season, we haven't been in the locker room. And I walked in to go and talk to Malcolm about his equipment and switching from Trou to Bauer. And he's also trying other things and whatnot. And Alex Tuck is standing over to the side. He goes, best NHL shootout goalie of all time right there, Malcolm Subban, like you saw it on display tonight. Nobody can score him. So it was awesome.
That's so good. He was really calm, obviously. I loved engaging with a Flyers fan on Twitter last night, because if this is easily lost in the minutiae of a season, and it wasn't a good year last year for Philadelphia. They were almost historically bad in shootouts, though. They scored one goal on 19 shots in the shootouts last year, did the Flyers. So this Flyers fan was, of course, reminded of and disappointed once again of how feeble they were in the shootout last night. Now, incredibly, the Flyers actually won a shootout game last year with the one goal that they did score. But regardless, it was really nice to see Subban come in. Did you see on his mask? Did you see the word? Coveted.
Coveted.
I liked that.
Yeah, and I would assume that mask is going to get painted at some point or wrapped, because there's a new thing. And for the people that don't know, I mean, you can get custom paints on your job, but they also make custom wraps now that are available like really, really quick. And so for certain goalies that may want to switch them up a few times during the year, that works. But yeah, I want to say this. I know the story of Malcolm Subban last year was one that, look, he came in because there was a lot of injury. He got hurt himself. He played with a broken arm, finished the game with a broken arm because of is unselfish ways of saying, well, I don't want the other guy to go in because he's already hurt and he pulled something and I'm going to finish the game. That's how he was. That's why he was loved by everybody. He's a great, great person, a great teammate. And I was really happy with his performance last night because, again, coming in halfway in the game and the way the game was going, it's not a high intensity game. And, you know, you're on the bench sometimes and you're feeling like, ugh, I'm going to fall asleep and I got to go in. I got to go halfway in. And he did a great job.
That would appear, if you're watching on MSG, to be the mask that he will be unveiling. My assumption is that he hasn't broken it in completely.
It could be. You know what is funny? Because, I talked to Malcolm in the room after the game about his switching to Bauer equipment and whatnot. And I had a chuckle because he said, well, up until Sunday, I wore my chest and arm protector over my pants because everybody's starting to wear them over their pants over the last few years, make you look big. And he goes, Sunday, I was like, no, I'm going to tuck it in because I always tuck my chest and arm protector in my pants for the last 15 years. And I was like, no, it's game day. I'm going to tuck it back in. So I was laughing because every year I would say, I'm going to break in new skates this year. I'm going to break in new pants. I'm going to break in new over the off season. And then you never do it. And then you're like, start the season with your old habits. So maybe it is that he hasn't felt comfortable.
Apparently
in
that
the
was
mask.
Old video we ran. So my bad. So.
It may be, but at the same time, I'll tell you this. I have this mask right here on my wall. I wore
the one
for
that
like
fell off at 3 a.m.
No, it's on the other side. It scared the crap out of me at 3 a.m. as my mask are falling off the wall. But anyway, this mask here, I got it in training camp. It was white. I put it on for one practice. I'm like, oh, that's fine. I send it out to get painted. When it came back, all of a sudden, I like my other mask better, which was the white mask that I wore in the 06-07 season. And this one didn't really fit good. I wore it two games and I was like, I don't want it. So maybe it's the same thing with Malcolm that, you know what, you have a mask that you feel comfortable with and the other ones don't really feel the same way.
Well, what was comfortable last night were a number of the players who had asterisks beside their name going in based on our discussion yesterday here on Sabres Live. And I think you really want to start with an obvious one, but personalize it from what you saw in Biro and Rusek and their ability to clearly play well with Tuck.
Well, it's funny because yesterday I had an asterisk next to Alex Tuck, right? And I'm like, I wonder if Tuck can drive a line. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to do much of that because Biro and Rusek were really good. Some nifty passing between the two. And we saw that on Biro's first goal of the game when Rusek went behind the back pass, like to find Biro in the slot to come in and score. But the chemistry between the two of them was really significant throughout the whole game. I thought, again, Brendan Biro, we talked about him plenty last year. He got to play in one NHL game, was a significant player in Rochester throughout the season. And unfortunately, he missed some time. But wow, did he have a good season in Rochester? I'm looking at his stats, 41 points in 48 games in Rochester. That's significant. And Rusek, I just love the guy. I mean, I watch him play, and you said it yesterday. He does everything well. He does everything the way you should want a player to do it. And he's doing it now, maybe not at the NHL level, because I don't think that the games are at NHL level yet, but at the level that's presented in front of you. So, I mean, what people are going to say, oh, can he do it at the NHL level? Well, let's see, because I am fully confident that he will be able to do it at the NHL level at some point. But right now, he's not presented with that level. So you can't knock him down for that. He's just doing the job that he has to do. I really, really like their chemistry together.
Imagine how much more we'd be talking about him and them if Biro had scored the hat trick goal. What a feed from Rusek, and what an intelligent effort to deflect it the way he, to redirect it the way he did. And it was almost absolute perfection that would have been Byro's hat trick goal. Now, that might have come with
Was it a hat trick goal, or was it just the second goal of the game?
There might have been an asterisk decided because Tuck might have, you know, gently nudged some people like he did when the second goal actually went in. He thought it was his on a
redirect.
I mean,
I was up in the press box and I was sitting next to some of the Sabres PR and they're like, it's preseason. I can guarantee you that Tuck is not going to say, hey, that was my goal, by the way. Like in a regular season, you may say that's my goal because, I mean, if it touched you, it's your goal. But I went and talked to Alex after the game. I can say that it wasn't technically off the record on the record, but he said, I celebrated and then I kept it quiet because it went off his hand. And he goes, I was worried that they were going to not count it because it went off his hand, thinking that, well, does it count if it goes off your glove? And I said to Alex, I said, anything accidental counts. It could go off your head, your hand, your skate, your shin pads, your rear end, as long as it's accidental. If it's on purpose, you can't headbutt a puck in the net. You can't elbow a puck in the net or glove a puck in the net or kick a puck in the net. Anything on purpose can only be done by the stick. Everything accidental can be done by any part of your body. So your goal would count. He goes, well, maybe I should have said something then. So, but it was too late and it was good. So we were all fine with it.
Yeah. Well, sadly, it's not that black and white because video review leads to interpretation of exactly. whether it was accidental or on purpose. So yes. Yeah, I wouldn't want to bet the house on that one. But the fact of the matter is Rusek and Byro were good. Tuck was really good with them. Good enough, I should say. Yes. I mean, I don't want to look. This was a tough one overall, numerically speaking. The shot attempts, not shots on goal, the shot attempts in the game were 44-31 in favor. Yeah. Sorry, 44-35 in favor of Philadelphia. My definition of a good to really entertaining game in the NHL would have your shot attempts at least have both clubs at 60.
Yeah, a shot attempt per minute per club.
And my goodness, so there was just... Now, the other aspect of that is, I think what we've seen over the years, the evolution of the game, the coaching of the game, the training of the player, is that as offensive as they are coming into the highest level, their default mechanism may be to try not to give up very much.
Yeah.
So there is some of that that comes into play. You don't necessarily see the run and gun 6-5, 8-7 preseason games, right? Where everybody's trying to get on the score sheet, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, some of the guys were very noticeable last night for their defensive efforts. Casey Mittelstadt's best two plays were backchecking. Linus Weisbach had a stunning backcheck. Like, you know, so it's hard to fault a game that has, you know, mediocre numbers because you still want guys to make a play no matter where they are on the ice.
Well, this is funny because in the first period, which only lasted 31 minutes in real time, which is a very quick first period, out of my 7 notes, 2 of them are goals. And out of the other 5 notes, one is, oh, great back check by Linus Weisbach early in the game. Like he came back, lifted the stick, boom. Great back check by Mittelstadt, same thing. Came back, lifted the stick, picked up the puck. And good steal and breakaway by Skinner, which was about halfway in the period where he was the one getting the steal and then he got back the other way for the breakaway. So those are all effort plays, right? Like back checking and defensive plays are all effort plays. I saw Matthias Samuelsson in the third period, like at the end when the goalie was out or just about to be out, blocking a shot again. There's the effort and defensive play. So it wasn't a great hockey game. It was very much a preseason type of feel to the execution of the players. There were some good moments. There were some not so good moments. And as you pointed out, the shot attempts were low, but the effort was there. For most of the guys, I thought Zemgus had a good, really good first period. I put his name down in the first period because I thought, look at Zemgus. The effort is there. He could easily say, it's the first preseason game that I'm playing. You know, I'm just going to go through the motion. No, it wasn't like that. So I really liked that about the Sabres effort.
Yeah, Girgensons and Samuelsson had big blocks in the final moment of the game to preserve the 2-1 win. Buffalo has won 2 1-goal decisions so far before going into Columbus tonight. And as Marty stated, they have won the 2 exhibition shootouts that they have had. And both times, Lukas Rusek has been the deciding goal scorer. So let's make sure we add that to his resume of what he's doing here. In, again, you can only do what you're presented with. Now,
yeah,
Rusek has made both of those shootout attempts look very easy. And that, to me, is a reflection of how he plays the game. He's a smart player. He doesn't panic. There's no unnecessary hyperactivity with him. He's really diligent on plays, and obviously he likes the moment. And the shootouts, which have been clearly based on the lack of goals scored in those two exhibitions, have been a struggle for most guys. So I was happy to see that Rusek was as calm.
Who did he reminded you of when he came in for a shootout attempt?
Oh, I'm blanking right now. Sorry, I'll blame my head.
So, like, for me, there was two guys that, and they're, unfortunately, Rusek's a lefty. Those two guys are right-handed shooters, but Vanek and Pominville, right? How they came in casual, boom, quick shot, 5-0, and you catch the goalie kind of sleeping. You lulled them to sleep. Like, I thought Rusek came in from the right side as a lefty, and seeing what Mittelstadt did, being able to bring it back to the back end and hit the crossbar, I thought Rusek was going to go back to the back end, and then boom, quick shot, 5-0, and I was like, oh, little Thomas Vanek here, little Jason Pominville in the way that he approached that one.
Yes, and poor Casey Mittelstadt, because not that we're keeping score because it's preseason exhibition shootout, but that was his move when he first came in to the NHL and had success in the shootout. He is in a lengthy shootout drought with that move in particular. And the sad part is every time he's got the guy beat, he's just missing by inches the execution of it. So I'll be interested to see as this season goes on, whether he sticks with that and just works on the perfection aspect of it, or whether he, you know, takes a different route. The other
it's
guy,
interesting you say that, because and I thought the same thing last night. And then I always go back to players I played with. And I remember Miro Chetan used to always score on the fake shot to the back end. And then he got stopped one time and it really got in his head. And he stopped trying the fake shot backhand, even to the fans saying, keep doing it. It's not going to score 100% of the time. And I thought Casey executed really well his attempt yesterday. It was a matter of a half inch. It cut the crossbar and out instead of crossbar and in. I think stick with it, because he has the right move.
I agree. I don't think the goalie has touched the puck in most of the situations where he has come in. So, but the other one that we didn't mention that did score on Sunday was Peterka, and it was a carbon copy of a move he has used in the AHL, which is interesting because most times you would come in from the opposite side, but he's a left shooter that likes to come in slow from the left side and go with that 5-hole move.
Yeah.
So it's something to keep an eye on. It's been good. Who else from last night? We touched Byro, Rusek, briefly Weisbach. I think the one guy, though, that you really want to tip a cap to, and he obviously won't play tonight for, you know, good reason, is Rasmus Dahlin. I mean, I thought the game just looked too easy for him last night. Like, his breakouts, just everything about him. It was everything you'd want to see at this time of year from Dahlin, right?
Yeah, the skating was effortless, and it was fast, and it was powerful. That's the one thing I noticed. Again, like, I was sitting next to Harry Neal on the press box, and Harry's looking over to me. He goes, well, that guy is pretty good, huh? And I'm like, yeah, when that comes from Harry, I could just hear that coming through the TV from back when he did the Sabres broadcast, or even Hockey Night in Canada. Like, it's an understatement of saying that guy is pretty good, but it's almost used as sarcasm, because Dahlin with the puck, he picked up a puck duffer. And this is, I know it's radio for some people and TV for others, but still, we don't have the viz. So Philly came into the zone on the left wing. Dahlin was playing the left D, so he was the opposite side. They rimmed the puck around the net behind Craig Anderson. So it's going to the right corner, the left side of Craig Anderson. Dahlin is coming on his backhand with the blade against the wall, right? And he's got this hard rim that's coming towards him. And I'm thinking, oh boy, like, he could fumble this. It could go off his stick and go right to the middle. He picked it up. Like, if it had been an egg, he wouldn't have even broken the egg. You guys remember the Mighty Ducks when they passed the egg? Mm. He absorbed it. It was so flawless, so effortless. And then he kept skating behind the net, cut to the middle, made two guys miss and went up the ice. That moment, I was like, wow. Like, he made that puck feel like it was some soft piece of rubber that he could just corral and go. He's got so many abilities to make the game look easy, and I thought he was fantastic.
Did you make note at all of how often he was on the right side, or he and Samuelson switched?
I did not make note, but I paid, I don't want to say close attention. They were switching back and forth all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, like when Samuelson had that block late in the game, Samuelson was on the left side. On this entry that I'm talking about, Dahlin was on the left side. A lot of it was dictated by where Dahlin would find himself in the offensive zone, because he always wanted to jump. Like, he was technically at times a fourth forward in the offensive zone. And then he would come back and look back and see, well, okay, Samuelson is on the left, I'll go to the right. Or depending on if it was, the play was on the other side, he'd go to the left. I don't think there's going to be a method to where they play. It's just going to be about the flow.
All right, who's got an asterisk tonight? That's what we're asking you at Sabres Live on Twitter. Let's look at the roster for this evening as we know it at the moment against Columbus. It's an opportunity to take on a Jackets team that has some really high-end first-round talent that will be in the mix. From Buffalo's standpoint, we're going to see another night of Brandon Biro, presumably. We're going to see Philip Siderkvist once again,
yes,
who I thought was really interesting last night, because in one of the games of the Prospects Challenge, the first game, I believe, there was a game-ending scrum. And Siderkvist almost, it was as if he was enjoying it and thinking, this is such a joke and you're not going to mess with me. Like, he was just basically, you know, get off of me, you know. And he has shown that, like, he has no aversion to anything. And his size is obviously a huge component of his game moving forward and will be a big part of his transition here to North America. So last night, he gets into it a little bit. He's given a guy a little bit extra as they go to the bench. The guy turns around and then he has no problem dropping the gloves. He'd already taken a penalty while in front of the net, trying to create his own space. Mm-hmm. Like, there are, obviously you don't want to take the penalty, but you know what I mean? There's a lot to like in Siderkvist right now. Don't you think?
The old saying was, get your name on the score sheet. Whatever way you can. I don't fully agree with that.
Right.
But I think what Siderkvist did yesterday was significant, and that you look at the game sheet and you say, oh yeah, I remember him taking that penalty, creating space, trying to play a tough, heavy game. Oh, he got in that fight off by the bench, right? And okay, good for him. He didn't like something. He got involved physically, showed that he won't back down. So if you take four tripping penalties and two slashing penalties, it's a different thing. Now you're going to be on the score sheet for bad reasons. But the old cliche of, well, get yourself on the score sheet, get yourself noticed, I felt was significant with Siderkvist. And at times, I'll say this, him jumping over the board and quickly getting into the play. For some players, they jump over the boards and they look around and say, oh, okay, like, what's going on or whatever. No, he was jumping over the board and he'd be the first forechecker, go hard at the puck. And I was like, oh, I like that. I like that. He's not the fastest of skater, but there's power there. And he's trying to overcome that aspect. And I thought he was significant, and he has been from Prospect Challenge and going to keep going. So yeah, there may be a little asterisk next to his name, because tonight I feel he may be given a bigger role, a bigger opportunity with a lot of the regulars not in a lineup. So Siderkvist will be asked to do maybe a little bit more. So let's see how that works out for him.
Daniil Tarasov expected to be the goaltender to start for Columbus. From a Sabres standpoint, we just showed you the roster on MSG. It's not finalized yet, but we're expecting Olofsson, Bjork, Kisikov, Bryson, and Comrie to make their Sabres preseason debuts. Out of that group of five, what jumps out for you? I'm assuming Erik Comrie.
Well, Comrie, because he's the goaltender, right? So we saw UPL, we saw Anderson in a half game and Subban in a half game. And now we're going to get to see Erik Comrie. I don't know if it's going to be a full game or a half game for him. You know, there's limited time and action now when you've already played two and you look at the rest of the preseason schedule and you're saying, well, that's probably going to be a full game for Comrie tonight. That's the way I think about it, but who knows? But it's important to see what he looks like and how his preparation for the season is. So yes, Comrie, but I will say the one asterisk that I have most will be Olofsson tonight. Just because he's one of the only veterans that will most likely be dressed, bringing the offense on the ice, be asked to produce in this game. We saw Byro step up last night. We saw Rusek step up last night. We saw Weisbach step up last night. I thought Thompson and Skinner looked good as a pair, and they found themselves in certain situation to be in a scoring chance. It just didn't translate. Okay, so there was some talk at this moment. Now, Olofsson will be asked to say, hey, go ahead, show us what you can do with a different lineup, but let's see if you can handle that leadership and responsibility. So there's an asterisk next to Victor Olofsson for that reason for me.
Right, and it's exciting because we have Quinn, Krebs, Paterka, Roseanne, Kozak among the group, Yuri Kulik. We get to see Kiskov for the first time. So there's an awful lot to look at tonight. You can check the live stream out. Unfortunately, in America only, on Sabres.com. And, of course, hear the game on WGR Sports Radio 550. Among the blue liners we expect to see, could very well see Bryson with Fitzgerald. We'll get Scary Laxon in the mix. And, again, this group being in front of Eric Comrie, it's hard not to be interested in what Eric brings, I would assume, too, over the course of a full game, but that remains to be seen.
And people have to also know, like they're saying, oh, the Sabres are not sending a lot to Columbus. It is preseason. Sometimes, you play back-to-back games and you use a lot of veterans one night. You may not use them the next night, but Columbus is not going to have Johnny Gaudreau. They're not going to have Boone Jenner. They're not going to have Patrick Laine. They're not going to have Gustav Nyquist. They're not.
Let me tell you who they do have, though. They do have Sean Corrali. They do have Kirill Marchenko, who might be the one to watch because they have really high hopes for this pick from 2018. Kent Johnson, obviously.
Yes.
Voracek and Roslovic. But on the blue line is where it gets most interesting because you've got both of their first rounders from this year in Denton Mateychuk and David Juracek. So this, as much as we talk about the Sabres side, obviously, this is an exciting moment for the Blue Jackets to give a big test to their young defense as they continue to try to reshape things here. And look, their optimism meter is running just about as high as what it is here in Buffalo. How could it not be when you were on the outside, you had the goaltending injuries that they had, but then you go and bring in Johnny Gaudreau, and it changes everything because it changes clearly from the outside what you're planning to accomplish. You're not bringing them in just for salary cap floor reasons. You're coming in to make a dent in the top eight.
Yes. And like Columbus not putting Gaudreau and Boone Jenner and those guys on the ice opens an opportunity for a lot of other players to show their skills. And I think this is what this game tonight is going to be about. Who is the not household names that you would think about Columbus and you would think about Buffalo? Who are those not household names that are going to stand out in this game? Who's going to take the lead? These are opportunities for certain players to step out of somebody else's shadow maybe and create their own place. And for me, this matchup in Columbus is really important for a lot of players because of that reason.
Who are you focused on tonight? Put an asterisk by their name. Do it at Sabres Live on Twitter. Appreciate Slapshot contributing because it's more up my alley to do multiple asterisks. He goes with Quinn, Paterka, Krebs, and Comrie after I had a note beside seven guys yesterday. And I dare say most of them kind of lived up to expectations. We're back after this on Sabres Live. It's a game day. Buffalo in Columbus tonight. Stay with us.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Buffalo and Columbus tonight on WGR Sports Radio 550. Check out the live stream at sabres.com. One thing I didn't mention yesterday, Marty, and again, it's not to dig too deep into a preseason game, but kudos to Buffalo's penalty kill. It's an area that I'm a little fixated on this year that has to be an awful lot better. And when you put yourself in a tough spot of a minute and a half, 5-on-3, and come out of it unscathed in a one-goal game, nicely done by all involved.
It was nicely done. And also, so late in the second period, I actually noted down who were on the ice to kill the penalties. And first of all, it started with Power and Jokiharju on the back end. Then it went to Pilot and Lyubushkin. And then it went to Dalin and Samuelson. So all six of them killed about 40 seconds each, and boom, they were out. And up front, it was Gergensen's Oposo first, Tuck and Mittelstadt second, and then Thompson and Weisbach third. And
well,
boom,
not
they
in
were
a
done.
5-on-3, it wasn't, because they only had one, and Gergensen.
Not in a 5-on-3. I'm talking about the 5-on-4. So that's what it was. But my point is more like the Sabres have a lot of players that could go into that role if needed to. And we, last year, Don Granato used Tuck and Thompson a lot. And maybe it was to try to see if we can use certain players and put them in different situations. But I like that I saw Weisbach kill penalties yesterday. Mm-hmm. I like that I saw Mittelstadt kill penalties yesterday. Let's see. It's preseason. It's that trial period. Let's see what we got.
There were not a lot of power play opportunities. Both clubs went 0 for 3. Of the Sabres penalty killers who appeared in more than a minute of shorthanded time last night, Jokiharju, Pilot, Oposo, Samuelson, Power, Dahlin, Mittelstadt, Lyubushkin, Weisbach, Thompson, and Tuck. So considering it's only three kills, that's a lot of names on your list, and just under a minute was Gergensen. So yes, it was spread out. I believe that, and this is always, look, I mean, the greatest shorthanded goal scorers in NHL history, not currently, those would be like Marchand and Bergeron, but historically, you look at Gretzky and Lemieux, and you tie it in with the power kill mentality of not only can we kill this, what can we create for ourselves? So if you get to a point where Thompson and Tuck are really good at this, I think it just didn't, you know, it adds another layer to your game for sure. And who knows, maybe Mittelstadt maybe Mittelstadt does develop into that role.
You're going to have guys that are going to play most of the power plays, and you're going to have some guys that are going to be killing penalties.
Like Cousins is clearly, you know, a guy that should emerge as a strong penalty killer.
Right? I would assume so. And I think that Gergensen's and Oposo obviously have that role, right? Mm-hmm. That they will go out there and kill penalties. But I'm also thinking at some point you have your top guys and you want to get them involved in the games and you want to have them feel like they're needed, not just to score goals, but to do other things in the game. And that to me is important. You pointed out like the Gretzky and Lemieux and, you know, Mark Messier and Yari Kurri and those guys, they all kill penalties. Yes, different eras, but the mentality was the same thing. I want my top guys to be involved in all aspects of the game and be able to like go on the ice for 30 seconds, do their job, come off the ice. And then you got a 5-on-5 shift right after. You don't sit Thompson. You don't sit Tuck on the bench for 2.5, 3 minutes of the game because all of a sudden you're in penalty trouble. You can put them out there so that they keep their flow going. And then when you're back to 5-on-5, if you have a power play, they've been on the ice and they've got their legs going.
Obviously the goaltending is a big part of that. What did you think quickly of Anderson and Subban, either from a technical or just overall standpoint?
I thought Craig Anderson was very calm, which is great because that's his game. Obviously a veteran goaltenders and a veteran goaltender playing half a game, he's going to be calm. And I'm telling you, I think that the signing of Malcolm Subban for me is one that's going to be very important to the Sabres organization. I don't think that Malcolm is going to be a guy that will get many opportunities in Buffalo this year, but will give the organization some depth that they definitely need. And his play in Rochester is going to be significant. Him and UPL will have a battle in Rochester. And I thought Malcolm did a really, really good job. And I am always going to be on his team because I feel like he has a lot to give.
And we're expecting Eric Comrie tonight. Quickly on John Tortorella, as someone, Colin, asked on at Sabres Live about Torts not being behind the bench.
This is typical Torts. During preseason, he loves to at times watch it from the press box or from a suite level and kind of take his notes and see it from a different angle. And he used to do that with the Rangers when I played. Would come into the room sometimes in between periods and talk to the guys, but not be on the bench. And also it allows for his assistants to have a better feel for the bench and give him some responsibility. So I saw Torts down by the locker rooms after the game. I said, hey, I was looking for you on the bench and I figured you were hiding in the suite somewhere because you weren't on the press box. And he goes, yeah, I decided to watch it from there. I'm going to do the same thing the next game. And then when it gets down to the last two games of the regulars of the preseason, I'll be behind the bench. So something that he does, not a lot of coaches do that, but Torts has done that for a long time.
And Buffalo has been welcoming for quite a long time now to those beyond the NHL coaching staff, like Weber and Appert were on the bench again last night, right, for the Sabres?
Yeah, and I think this is going to be down to the last few days, right, for the Rochester American staff before they head back to Rochester for the training camp that will start, I would think, next week in Rochester, because next week most of the guys from
they have their preseason games on the 8th and the 9th.
Okay, so that, yeah, and if you look at the way that the camp is going to go for Buffalo, they're going to start making cuts. Some of those Rochester guys will go back to Rochester. The Amherst are going to bring guys in, ECHL guys, tryout guys for their camp. But to have Pekka and Weber on the ice and Seth Appert obviously on the ice during practices and on the bench, I think is a great experience to be able to, for Don Granato, not only to, to see how these guys work, but to see how they communicate with the players. How is that communication going on in Rochester so that they use the same language, that they teach the same things, and it helps for the organization? So I did see a couple of times Don go over to talk to Seth, you know, probably exchanging notes on certain things. So I love that they are given that opportunity.
third and four nights for Buffalo tonight. They try to go 3-0 in the preseason as they take on the Jackets at 7 seed.
You may have to go 6-0 tonight. 6-0 with maybe a game and a shootout again. Who knows?
See it on Sabres.com. Listen to it on WGR Sports Radio 550. Lindgren, Bloom, Komarov, Sova have been reassigned to their junior squads. Great to see Sean Malone back at practice yesterday and today sporting a normal jersey as opposed to the non-contact yesterday. So as we referenced, I think, I don't know whether it was on air or off the other day, it's been a little tough for the Malones lately.
Oh yeah.
That's post here.
Post got, is on the up. IR.
So anyway, I'm just happy that Sean is back and here's hoping that he's fully ready to continue his return to prominence, because it was definitely that type of role last year in Rochester, and hopefully puts himself in a call-up position here in Buffalo.
I hope so too. And obviously want to see all the local kids, a guy that played at Nickel Schools for his prep hockey before going out to college and turning pro. So I hope for Sean Malone that he stays healthy and has a big role with the Rochester Americans. So that would be obviously very important. And yes, it was, did I send that clip of Post Malone going through the hidden floor that slipped from underneath him and he fell into the hole? Is that the IR from Post Malone? Is that how he got hurt?
He got hurt in St. Louis. Then he continued with a few shows. Yeah. And then, yeah. I mean,
he had the Blues jersey on and he didn't realize that the floor door that he probably came out of was still open and he went right down. Man, that looked like it hurt a lot.
Yeah. So we'll see if he returns to form rather quickly. The Blues, by the way, had a good night last night. Ryan O'Reilly, who is much talked about right now because he's in the final year of his contract. He had a 3-point game. So we'll see where it goes for St. Louis. But real quick, before we do fill in the blank here, and we still want more of your asterisks, like who are you putting a notch beside heading into this game tonight as Buffalo goes up against the Jackets? I think it's fair to assume, Marty, that for good reason, people will want to see as much as humanly possible from Krebs, Paterka, and Quinn tonight.
Yeah, so this is another three that if I'm going to give out 6 or 7 or 8 asterisks for the roster tonight and guys to watch, I would think that those three, Krebs, Quinn, and Paterka, will have an asterisk and will be watched by the Sabres brass. Number one, is Krebs a for sure center this year with the Buffalo Sabres? Could they move him to the wing? Where is this fit? And I want to see more out of Peyton Krebs. I want to see the playmaking. I want to see the chances offensively. He's going to be given that opportunity tonight against Columbus. And the roster that Columbus has is one that may open up some opportunity offensively. And for Quinn and Paterka, again, like Quinn scored the tying goal in Washington and the Sabres won in an OT. But do you have sustained pressure? Are you creating chances from the start of the game all the way to the end? Or is it just one puck that comes to you and you score? I want to see more. I want to see a progression from all three of those guys, which I think would have a big role in some of the success that the Sabres will have this year. But right now, like I saw Rusek, I saw Byro, I saw Weisbach, I saw Kozak in the first game. I saw a lot more of other players that maybe I saw out of Krebs, Quinn, Paterka, and preseason number two for those guys. I want to see that step forward. So definitely an asterisk next to those guys, hopefully for good reasons.
Well, Quinn had 4 shots and 5 shot attempts in that Washington game. Unfortunately, Krebs never got any on goal, but that's not super surprising based on his pass first mentality. Yeah. And Paterka had 1 shot. Now, I don't know, because the running joke is, as Rod Brind'Amour put into perfect context in the playoffs last year, faceoffs are important until they're not. You know, look, the most important faceoff of the game is in 3-on-3 overtime. If you win that, you give yourself the first opportunity to control the play. That's actually what Buffalo did against the Capitals. But they were horrific on the draw most of that day, Krebs included in that. He only won 21% of his faceoffs. Yesterday, the Sabres were better in offensive and defensive zone faceoffs overall. They weren't very good in neutral zone faceoffs, which is a little bit of a strange quirk, but the guys who also weren't good yesterday were Gergensen's, Thompson, and Mittelstadt. So
yeah.
I don't know. How do you view this in the context? I remember Michael Pekka told us the great story about Krebs and faceoffs last year. And, you know, like he,
I recall a story, but I don't remember the details.
I think he came down from the NHL and was he not? I don't want to say purposely losing them. Is that right?
There was something to, he couldn't win them. So he said, I'm going to start losing them, or some to that aspect, like purposely losing them.
But with a recovery plan, obviously, yes, in place. But it was more the details than of what Michael taught him about the mismatch that you're going to face and how to go around it. Remember the whole talk of like how he would defend Sundin's stick?
Against Matt Sundin. So, I remember, you know, that. Yeah.
So all
he couldn't
kind of
outpower
stuff.
Him, so he had to do something else. Oh, and no, knowing
sorry. Sorry, it wasn't intentionally losing the draw. It was intentionally getting kicked out because his percentage was so bad. And in the playoffs last year, but Krebs constantly got tossed out of the faceoff circle. So Pekka was saying, I think he was doing it intentionally because his percentage was so bad. But anyway, what do you make of that component of the game? Or do you just think it's a natural evolution of all young players that Buffalo currently has vying for center ice position, that in time, they're all going to get better / respectable?
I wish there was a stat that didn't only factor in the faceoff percentage, but who has the puck 5 to 10 seconds after the faceoff?
Right.
Right. So, because sometimes you lose a draw, but you end up with the puck 5 or 10 seconds after, or you win a draw, but you give it away. Mm-hmm. So how about this? Let's focus on what team has the puck 5 to 10 seconds after the draw. And if you have that a very aggressive mentality and you're going to jump on their D in the offensive zone, then losing a draw in the offensive zone is not a bad thing, because the puck is actually closer to their net. Because they win it close to the net, you attack them, you can get something else. So I wish there was a stat out there. Maybe somebody can create that. Is who has possession of the puck 5 seconds after the draw, or 10 seconds after the draw, when it actually matters?
Fill in the blank is next on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
More of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres Jackets tonight at 7. Happy birthday, Don Edwards. Buffalo's first Vezina Trophy winning netminder, in tandem with Bob Solvay in 79-80. Donnie is 67 today.
That was the old Jennings Trophy, right? Basically.
You could put it that way, yes.
Yeah.
Let us get to fill in the blank. Speaking of goaltending, if Montreal had a fully healthy Carey Price, blank,
They would compete for a playoff spot. And I'm not saying they would be for sure in, no, but a fully healthy Carey Price, I'm going back to many years now and the domination he had on the position, but he's not been healthy over the last few years, and he's obviously not playing this year.
I still think that Montreal is going to be better than what most people are giving them credit for.
Oh, I like it.
Blank is the most handsome coach in the NHL.
Okay, this is tough, right? Because you're dealing with 40-year-olds and 68-year-olds. And
kind of like our show.
Well, kind of. But so I'm going to say, look, I think Marty St. Louis is a very handsome guy. So I'm going to say he's probably there. But he was like 20th on the list. I don't understand how he was so low.
Yeah. Well, all I'll say is with my hairdo, I was pretty happy to see two guys in the top four sporting a similar look. So now there were also two guys in the bottom three. So I don't know which way this poll was skewed.
No way Jay Woodcroft is number one, though. No way.
There is no way that Jay Woodcroft is number one. We'll see if the Sabres are still perfect tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.